WHYY is proudly supported by Penn Medicine. From groundbreaking discoveries to life-saving care, Penn Medicine's innovation is helping to change lives, one moment, one treatment, one patient at a time.
Do Rock Hudson's romantic comedies take on a new meaning when you know that he was gay? Screenwriter and director Mark Rappaport explored that question in his 1992 film essay, Rock Hudson's Home Movies. Rappaport's new film examines the life of the actress Jean Seberg. Seberg made her film debut as a teenager, starring in Otto Preminger's St. Joan. It made her famous, but she was so miscast it nearly ruined her career. Nonetheless, she achieved cult status soon after when she played the young American in Jean-Luc Godard's landmark 1959 film Breathless. Later in her life, after she became involved with the Black Panthers, the FBI tried to ruin her career. She committed suicide in 1979 at the age of 40. The new film, called From the Journals of Jean Seberg, uses Seberg's life as the springboard to talk about the language of filmmaking. It interweaves clips from her films with excerpts of fictional journals written by the director Mark Rappaport. The journals are read by Mary Beth Hurt, who plays the part of Seberg. Here's the opening of the film.
If you were around in 1957, you know who I am. Otto Preminger had a talent search for someone to play Joan of Arc in his screen adaptation of George Bernard Shaw's St. Joan. It was the most well-publicized hunt for a new face since Vivian Leigh was chosen to play Scarlett O'Hara. 18,000 girls sent in their photos, and 3,000 were granted personal auditions with Mr. Preminger. The unique thing about this production is they were looking for someone who actually was Joan's age. I was 17. And I got the part. People magazine didn't exist then, but if it had, I would have been on the cover. Entertainment Tonight didn't exist then, but if it had, you would have seen me there too. But for the 50s, I had as much exposure as anyone could get. Even before the cameras started rolling, everyone knew who I was. I was on the Ed Sullivan Show. I was in Life magazine. No cover. I was on the Mike Wallace Show. That was the good news. The bad news was we made the movie.
Your film is part of a genre that I think doesn't quite exist yet outside of your film.
It's like a new genre.
It's like a new genre.
A genre builder.
Yeah, that's good. Why don't you describe the film? I mean, what kind of film essay this is?
Well, I have taken to describing it as a fictional autobiography. It's a life of an actor who is no longer with us, and as if he or she is still around, he or she is discussing his life, his career, through the movies that he or she made. The reason I say he or she is because, in addition to From the Journals of Jean Seberg, I've also made a film a couple of years ago called Rock Hudson's Home Movies. And in a sense, they're analyzing from a modern perspective their life and their career and their films. And it becomes not exactly, it's a kind of gossipy thing, but it's also kind of cultural criticism. I mean, in a sense, it's revisionist film history, but not quite as boring as that might sound.
Now, you have cast an actress, Mary Beth Hurt, as Jean Seberg, and Mary Beth Hurt plays Jean Seberg reciting her journals, but of course, these aren't really Seberg's journals. They're the journals you wrote
right,
and gave the actress Mary Beth Hurt to read.
Right, there are no journals.
Yeah, so do you have anything that you've based your perceptions on besides your own perceptions? In other words, was there any documentation of how Jean Seberg actually felt about her movies or, you know, felt about her performance in St. Joan?
No. That's a short answer. There were, to my knowledge, there are no records. I mean, there are a couple of interviews, and a couple of lines in the film do come directly from her when she said Otto Preminger was the most charming dinner guest in the world and the most sadistic director in the world. But basically, it's all supposition, inference, my own conclusions. I would have to stress that it is a fictional persona of Jean Seberg that I'm presenting. I do not call this film a documentary in standard documentary terms, but others have called it a documentary, so who am I to argue with them?
You cast Mary Beth Hurt in the Jean Seberg role. Why did you choose her for it?
That is an interesting story. Do you have a couple of hours? I'm not supposed to eat sugar. This is the personal part of the show. I'm not supposed to eat sugar. And after I finished the final version of the script, but I love it. I ate a box of cookies, and it just kind of knocked me out, and I took a nap. And as I got up from the nap, I said, Mary Beth Hurt, who I'd never thought of her before in relation to this film, although I thought of her as a very excellent actress. And I looked her up in a film reference book, and it says Mary Beth Hurt, born in Marshalltown, Iowa, which is the same city that Gene Seberg was born in. And I said, this is amazing. You know, karmic cookies. So I called up her agent, and indeed she was interested because she, coming from Marshalltown, Iowa, she knew all about Gene Seberg. And furthermore, she grew up around the corner from the Seberg family. And there are a lot of connections between Mary Beth Hurt's family and the Seberg family. So it really was a very strange connection. It's one of those things that you can't will that kind of association into being. I was just very lucky. It's very, very strange.
My guest is Mark Rappaport. He wrote and directed the new film From the Journals of Gene Seberg. We'll talk more after a break. This is Fresh Air. Back with Mark Rappaport, he wrote and directed the new film From the Journals of Gene Seberg. You know, your film is not just an essay about Gene Seberg. It's about film and filmmaking. And one of my favorite parts of the film is when you compare close-ups, the close-ups of Gene Seberg with the close-ups of Clint Eastwood, who was her co-star in Paint Your Wagon. What are the different things you see when comparing their close-ups?
Well, in the film, I suggest that Jean Seberg is, in a sense, the first modern movie actress because the camera looks at her and looks at her and looks at her, and she breaks that fourth wall, which you're not supposed to do in movies. She looks back at the camera, and when you look at the camera, it looks as if you're looking directly into the eyes of every spectator in the audience. And she was the first person who was asked to do that and the first person who did that, to my knowledge. And the camera spends a lot of time looking at her and wondering what she's thinking. The camera spends a lot of time looking at Clint Eastwood as well, especially in the spaghetti westerns that he made with Sergio Leone. But his close-ups, even though he really fills the frame, they are not quiet and contemplative. We're not trying to uncover a mystery when we look at Clint Eastwood. Clint Eastwood is kind of waiting and watching for the next moment of action, for somebody to be reaching for their gun, for the killer to appear above the edge of the roof. But we spend a lot of time looking at Clint Eastwood. But again, his face, like Gene Seberg's, is a blank, and we don't know what he's thinking. But we're not really that interested in what he's thinking. We're more interested in what he's going to do.
Now, I think of your work as film criticism in action, like movies that function both as movies and as film criticism. Did you ever think of becoming a film critic?
God, no. Well, let's say cultural critic as well as film criticism.
Fine. I'll accept that.
Because I'm not just dealing with the movies. I think from the Journals of Gene Seberg and Rock Hudson's Home Movies are very, for me, they're interesting ways of reexamining social, political, sexual, cultural values of the 50s and 60s.
Mm-hmm.
You had said that you didn't really know who Gene Seberg was, and Gene Seberg herself doesn't interest you all that much, but it becomes like
a... Let me clarify what I said, that I'd only seen one of her films and wasn't really like, you know, she wasn't very, you know, particularly important to me.
Right. But
does that sound a little better?
it still leads into what I'm going to say.
Okay.
Gene Seberg becomes a vehicle whereby I can examine social and cultural values and mores of the 50s and 60s and the 70s as well. I think if it were just like a straight, you know, ordinary documentary, it would not be that. It would not be that interesting, certainly not for me to work on. And this becomes a way to discuss the times. In a sense, the format, the autobiography, becomes a spine around which I can examine various different issues and ideas of the times.
So why did you think Jean Seberg would lend herself to this type of cultural examination?
Well, I'm sad to say that part of it is because she was this victim. She actually was a political casualty of the political and emotional casualty of the 60s and 70s. I think she lends herself to it because her death was really precipitated by the all-out campaign by the FBI to destroy her.
Did the fact that she committed suicide at age 40 also make her, in a way, a more logical candidate for you? Because she died before she was completed.
Yeah.
And so you can project more onto her.
Yeah. Well, this is certainly true. One wouldn't even attempt something like this with Jane Fonda because the story's not over.
Right.
Also, there is something tragic about Jean Seberg. I don't like the word tragic. It's not a Shakespearean play. But there is something awful about a life that's not fulfilled and that ends short and that ends in a way that it should never have ended, you know.
Your Rock Hudson film and Jean Seberg film are part of this new genre that you've created of film cultural criticism that's very entertaining, not dry at all, but filled with ideas. How did you come up with this concept for a new kind of film?
Well, various projects of mine had collapsed, and actually four projects had collapsed within a period of 3 months, and I said, oh, God, I've just got to keep working. And I had this idea to, well, this is an easy way to do it, you know, just sit at home with your VCR and you can do it. And that's kind of how Rock Hudson's Home Movies and finally, most recently, Jean Seberg, from the journals of Jean Seberg came into being. I felt I had to do projects that were cheap, that could be done relatively cheaply, and that I could do by myself with complete control, and that would be it. I didn't need, you know, $200,000, $1 million to do them, and somebody else saying, yes, we'll give you the money, or no, we won't give you the money. I just winged it.
Well, you've been making movies for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
You're one of the independents who hasn't signed up with the major studios. Have they not knocked on your door, or have you said no?
I guess my films say, please don't knock on my door. I don't know. They haven't knocked on my door. I've not said no. I've not had a chance to say yes or no, but I think my films pretty much say no trespassers.
Right. I'm not what you're looking for.
I'm not what you're looking for. It ain't me, babe.
Have you asked yourself what you think Jean Seberg would say about your film if she saw it, and whether she'd say, I never thought anything of this, of the sort?
I haven't asked myself, but people come over and tell me, they tell me, how could you do that to her? But the most gratifying things I've heard are two people who I didn't know prior to this, who told me that they knew her quite well and felt that it really captured something about her and something about her spirit, and they were immensely gratified to see the movie, and I found that very, very satisfying to hear.
Well, I want to thank you a lot for talking with us.
Well, thank you. It was great fun.
Mark Rappaport wrote and directed the new film from the journals of Jean Seberg. It opens Friday in New York and will open in other cities in the weeks to come.